قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم. صلوات عليك. In the majalis that we heard on the occasion of the shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, I've chosen to speak on the ashab and the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen to understand what does it mean to be a Shia of Ali. We looked at the example of Salman Farsi, Abu Dharr Ghifari, Sauda bint Ammara al-Hamdaniya, and even the example of Miqdad. I would like to conclude the discussion with one more example of Ammar bin Yasir. Ammar bin Yasir is known as one of the Al-Arkan al-Arba'a, one of the four pillars of the support of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he was among the very early Muslims. Originally, his family comes from Yemeni background. Again, you know, this is the area where you had the support of those who believed in Amir al-Mu'mineen. But of course, his family had settled down in Mecca much before Islam. And as an outsider, they had to associate with one tribe there, as we saw in the example of others, including Miqdad. And so they became Halif, an ally of Banu Makhzum clan in Mecca. Ammar is one of the earliest Muslims. He actually was a friend of the Prophet even before Islam, and almost same age as the Prophet. And during the early days when they used to meet in the house of Arqam, it became famous as Darul Arqam. That was the gathering place of the Muslims in Mecca. That's where he and his friend Suhaib bin Sanan became Muslim together. It was through his influence that his parents also, you know, moved towards Islam. You know, sometimes we only think the parents would influence the children. This is opposite. It is the son influencing the parents to become Muslims. However, when the faith of Islam started increasing, this is where the mushrikeen, you know, started adopting different strategies to prevent this mission of the Prophet. And one of the things they did was they started pressurizing those who were not from prominent families or didn't have tribal support. So people like Miqdad or people like Ammar and his family, who are basically confederates or allies or halif and client of another clan there, that's where you see that these are the people who are known as mustadhafin, the weak ones in society. They didn't have full rights. And so the mushrikeen started basically physically torturing them so that they may renounce Islam. People like Bilal, you heard his story. He was a slave, and the master started, you know, physically torturing him. And that also happened to the family of Ammar. His parents, himself, and his brother, Abdullah, they were all physically tortured so that they may renounce Islam. The Prophet would pass by, but he couldn't do much at that time. He would just, you know, console them by saying, Sabran ya Ali Yasir, maw'idukum al-jannah. Maintain patience. The promise that I have for you is that whatever happens, you will have the Jannah at the end. And Ammar's, you know, parents also resisted till the end. Means they were tortured to the point of death. Ammar was there, still tied, and he could see that the father and mother refused to renounce Islam. And they, you know, Yasir and Sumayya became the first martyrs in the history of Islam. And this is where, you know, Ammar as a, you know, when he saw the torture of his own parents, in order to save his own life, he renounced Islam verbally and praised the idols of Quraysh. And because of that, they let him go. They said, okay, you are fine now, go. He immediately goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he was crying. Not crying for his parents. He says, Rasulullah, I was forced to save my life and I uttered these words against you. What will happen to me? This is the early days of Islam. You know, the rules have not yet come in. And that is where Rasulullah asked him, tell me, when you were uttering these words of kufr, was your heart at peace with iman or not? He says, yes, these were only words. I was at peace as far as my iman is concerned. And at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the ayat number 106 of chapter 16. This ayat specially came for Ammar, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man kafara billahi min ba'di imanihi." Whoever disbelieves after the iman, illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. So this is the judgment about somebody who becomes kafir after becoming a mu'min. But then Allah puts an exception there. Illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. Except somebody who was forced because of the circumstances, while his heart was still at peace with faith. Wa man sharaha bil kufri sadra. However, whoever opens their hearts towards kufr, not only on you know, tongue, فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. They will have Allah's wrath and severe punishment in the hereafter. This is, we see this, the first ayat about the principle of taqiyyah. Taqiyyah, you know, dissimulation, where you say words of kufr in order to save your own life or honor or property. Depends on the severity of the situation. You know, Shias are accused of this by the Sunnis. They do not know that this is the first example. And this is the ayat of Quran talking about it. That as long as your heart was mutma'in, at peace with heart, with iman, you know, the words really don't mean anything. And this is where, you know, if you look at the status of salawat, Pranayak Parhar. Ammar, you know, he has been praised by the Prophet in many different ways. There is one hadith accepted by Shias and Sunnis both where the Prophet says, اشتاقت الجنة إلى علي وعمار وسلمان وبلال. The Jannah is waiting or longing for Ali, Ammar, Salman, and Bilal. One day Ammar came to visit the Prophet. So he basically asked permission from outside that I would like to come in. And the Prophet told his servant there, إِذَنُ لَهُ. Allow him to come. But then the way he addressed him, he says, مَرْحَبَا بِالطَّيِّبِ ابْنَ الطَّيِّبِ. You know, Ammar is tayyib, pure, and he is son of a pure one. When the Masjid al-Nabi was being built, at the time, even the Prophet was, you know, helping his companions. At that time, there was some argument, and I don't want to go into details, we don't have that much time today, where somebody criticized Ammar. And Ammar was actually carrying double of the load of others. Not one brick, two bricks, for example. And so when there was one of the prominent Sahaba was basically, was you know, criticizing him. So Rasulullah said, leave him alone. And he called Ammar close, and he wiped the sweat from his forehead. And then the Prophet says, you know, that he is someone, إِنَّكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ تَقْتُلُكَ الْفِئَةُ الْبَاغِيَةِ. You are from the people of Jannah and you will be killed by a rebellious group. In what state? Ammar will be killed, yad'uhum ila al-jannah, while he will be calling them towards Jannah, and those who killed him, yad'una ila al-nar, will be calling him towards Jahannam. And this hadith was there at the time, but it became a very crucial point in the discussion between Shias and Sunnis later on. And you see that, you know, he was among those who were with Amir al-Mu'mineen in the house of Fatima al-Zahra to protest against the bay'at of Abu Bakr. And even after that, especially during the time of Usman, he was a very strong, you know, vocal critique of the unjust policies of Usman about the way mismanaging the Baytul Mal, the public treasury. For example, Arqam bin Abdullah, who was the treasurer during the time of Usman, one day Usman told him to, you know, set aside 100,000 dirham. He said, I can do that, but I'll make a note that this is a loan that you have from Baytul Mal. And Usman became very angry. He said, what do you mean? You are my treasurer. He said, no, I'm not your treasurer. I am treasurer of the Muslims. You appointed me to handle Baytul Mal. This is public's property. And he became so angry, abused him, you know, and dismissed him. Rather, I would say, you know, the treasurer quit. He said, I cannot do any work with you anymore. And then Usman goes on the minbar and he says, oh people, when Abu Bakr came, he preferred his tribe over others. When Umar came, he preferred his tribe over others. And therefore, I will prefer my own tribe of Banu Umayyah over others. And nobody can say anything about what I'm doing. If I'm given the right to be at the door of Jannah and the privilege to admit people, I will bring all the Banu Umayyah into Jannah. Look at their affiliations. And this is whether people like or not, this is our property. And this is where, when Ammar heard about it, one of the cases where he openly opposed Usman was on this issue. Where Usman comes down from the minbar and starts, you know, kicking Ammar to the extent that Ammar became unconscious. You know, they talk about Shias being, you know, oh, they don't believe in Sahaba, don't respect Sahaba. What is this? You know, and this is where the story goes on. You know, he even decided then to exile Ammar the way Abu Zar was exiled. Until Banu Makhzum, the tribe that he was affiliated to, they came to Ali, said, can you go and, you know, convince Usman not to do this? And because of the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Usman let him stay in Medina. The hadith of the Prophet about Ammar, that, you know, you will be killed by the rebellious group. This became a problem because Ammar was with Amir al-Mu'mineen in Siffin. And he was killed in Siffin at the hand of the forces of Muawiyah there. And at that time, many people didn't remember that hadith of Rasulullah about Ammar. But the day he was killed, Abdullah bin Amr ibn As, son of Amr ibn As, who used to write the ahadith of Rasulullah for his own notes, immediately said, oh, Rasulullah said that he will be killed by the rebellious group. So even those who are still, you know, on the fence on this issue of who is on haq, who is on batil in Siffin, on that day they realize haq is with Ali and Muawiyah is batil. And when Abdullah bin Amr ibn As mentioned this hadith, remembered that, it became like a wildfire among the Syrian forces. And Muawiyah told Amr ibn As, can you not put a rein on the mouth of your son? Why does he have to say everything that he heard from Rasulullah? Because it became a public relations nightmare for him. And Amr ibn As says, well, there is a solution to it. Why don't you spread words among your soldiers that the person responsible for the killing of Ammar is the person who brought him to Siffin? You know, this crooked thinking of blaming the victim. That we didn't kill him. The responsibility goes on the person who brought him here. When Amir al-Mu'mineen heard about it, he laughed. He said, it means Rasulullah is responsible for the killing of Hamza. Because he took his uncle to Uhud. And this is where, you know, we see that this hadith even now becomes, even the shahadat of Ammar became a point of support for the vilayat of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. بس آخر میں ایک حدیث میں ہم ختم کرنا چاہیں گے صلوات پڑھنے کے بعد دی پروفیٹ رسول اسلام نے عمار سے کہا تھا عمار ان رعیت علیا قد سلک وادیا وسلک الناس وادیا غیره کہ اگر تم یہ دیکھو کہ علی جو ہے ایک وادی میں جا رہے ہیں اور پوری امت جو ہے دوسرے وادی میں جا رہی ہے فَسْلُكْ مَا عَلِيٍّ وَدَعِ النَّاسِ تم علی کی پیچھے پیچھے جانا پوری امت کو چھوڑ دینا میجورٹی کو نہیں دیکھنا ہے اس لیے کہ علی کے ساتھ رہیں گے تو کبھی بھی گمراہی کی طرف نہیں جائیں گے رسول اسلام نے ایک اور جملہ کہا تھا عمار کے بارے میں وہ کہا تھا کہ عمار مع الحق والحق مع العمار مع عمار عمار حق کے ساتھ ہے عمار از ود دی ٹروتھ اور حق جو ہے عمار کے ساتھ ہے دی ٹروتھ از آلسو ود عمار اتنا کلوز ریلیشن شپ ہے ہم چاہتے ہیں کہ آپ ہماری تقریر ختم ہو وہ ایک کمپیریزن پہ ہے لوگ کہیں گے اچھا اگر رسول نے علی کے بارے میں یہ کہا تھا علی مع الحق والحق مع علی عمار کو بھی وہی کر دیا ریمبر دی اسٹینڈرڈز آر ڈفرنٹ فرق ہے عمار کے حدیث میں رسول نے کہا ہے کہ مع عمار مع الحق والحق مع عمار اور عمار اسی طرف جاتے ہیں جہاں حق ہے علی کے بارے میں رسول نے کہا تھا کہ علی مع الحق والحق مع علی اس کے بعد ایک دوسرا جملہ کہا ہے خداوندہ حق کو موڑ دینا اسی طرف جس طرف علی جا رہے ہیں علی کا سٹینڈرڈ ہی کچھ اور ہے وہ عمار کے برابر نہیں ہے وہاں کہا جا رہا ہے کہ عمار وہیں جائیں گے جہاں حق ہے یہاں خداوند عالم سے دعا کرتے ہیں خداوندہ حق کو موڑ دینا اسی طرف جس طرف علی جا رہے ہیں صلوات پڑھنے ایک بار خداوند عالم کے بارگاہ سے دعا ہے خداوندہ ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما گناہوں کو معاف فرما خداوندہ ہم لوگوں کو توفیق دے کے صحیح معنی میں ہم لوگ شیعان علی کی جو تقاضے ہیں اس کو پورا کر سکیں ربنا آتنا فی الدنیا حسنۃ وفی الآخرۃ حسنۃ وقنا عذاب النار انک علی کل شیء قدیر